Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
You know, there comes a time, like there is a time that is similar to David and Goliath, when there is the whole army of Israel that is there on the battlefield, but for 40 days, because they have encountered an unconventional warfare, they are unable to move. So they came expecting
to fight in a certain way, the way perhaps they usually did. And of course, you know, even in the time of Saul, they had defeated the Philistines a number of times. So they come expecting to find something similar. We are going to go to battlefield in this valley, and we are going to encounter these people on the other hill and us on the other hill. Then whoever conquers the hill on which the other one is the winner. Whoever seems to conquer the hill on which the enemy is, if you move from here, it's almost like tug of war. You see? You pull the other guys to your side and you win. But then now, the Philistines come up with something different. And they say, now it's one man against one man. Beat this man and you have won, instead of all of us. And now, they find themselves in a place where they are totally ill-prepared for something like that. And for 40 days, they are challenged. Come and beat him. Just beat this man and it's all done. And now, because it has moved away from conventional to unconventional warfare, everybody is stuck. Everyone is stuck. But then, I want you to know that at the time that Saul had become king, I am sure they would have found somebody, because there was something they knew. They knew that they don't fight by themselves. Remember when Saul was coming from fetching the donkeys, after he had already been installed as king. They had already even unveiled him as king. But after they unveiled him, he walked away and went back to looking after cattle. But then, now God, to kind of give him the kingly stature, brought the usual guys, the Philistines or the Palestinians, against him. And it says when he heard, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him and he cut a cow in pieces and sent to all people and said, now come and gather together. We have to go and fight and defend our brothers. They had attacked one of the tribes. And all the people were moved because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And they went and fought and had a great victory. And of course, he knew that it wasn't him, because he had no idea about how to be king. But anyway, when all that is done, then there are people who had despised him at the beginning and said, well, this guy is going to be our king. And they despised him. But there are those who had followed him. Now, that scripture I know is so powerful, because it says, I think it's in 1 Samuel chapter 10, it says that as soon as he was crowned king, there were valiant men whose hearts God had touched to follow him. Now, for every time, there will be people who will despise you. There will be those whose hearts God has touched. And somehow, they will see you and they see that thing in you. Look for us at scripture. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Now, and they followed him home. Yet Saul himself did not feel like king. But there were people whose hearts God had touched who saw him as king, even if he didn't see himself as king. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll tell you this, in everything you do, as long as it has been anointed by God, there will be somebody who will come out and stand. And Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him among all the people? So all the people shouted and saying, Lord, long live the king. Next verse. Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of the royalty and wrote it in a book. They did not even know how to have a king. So he had to explain to them, this is how royalty is. They wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. Okay? Next verse. And Saul also went to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him whose hearts God had touched. Now, the first sign of the anointing is there will be people who just look at you and somehow they say, you can do that thing. And they believe in you, sometimes even more than you believe in yourself. And if you actually would just follow them, you wouldn't know where that leads you. If you would just even listen to them and see yourself the way they see you, you'd be shocked where that leads you. I'll give you an example. There was a time, must have been around 2011 or thereabout, when I felt the Lord leading me to go and stand and become FUFA president. Now I was in such a low place in my life. There was nothing seemingly outwardly working. My finances were down. I didn't even have a car. I was in the most inconvenient place to take on such an undertaking. The most inconvenient place. And I just wanted to know the most inconvenient place. Because I would wake up and my thoughts are just about how I'm going to get by the day. And wait for the night where I would go, starting around 11. Depending on when, you know, on the day and so on. Sometimes when there was Champions League, I would start later. But thereabout. And pray after about 3 or 4 a.m. That was my program. But now I get this feeling that I'm saying, now maybe it's like, not now, for a later time. Then I went and met Prophet. Then he told me, by the way, have you thought about this FUFA thing? You pray about it. Pray about it. He was telling me you go for it. Now, he didn't even know I had known that before. So he just said, you pray about it. I pray. Then after some time, he said, pray about it. So what I did is, I said, let me see how it goes. So I went to some man whom I know, who is like the football, you know, those people who determinants, Kamaravyona, sort of behind the scenes. They are the ones who know how to manipulate things to make things happen. And I knew him very well, and he had installed people, and somehow some people didn't like him because they felt he installed people. Like, that whole thing is run by what is called colleges, voter colleges. So they are, you know, delegates representing every district. So basically, it's about 100, and at the time, districts were not that many. It was about 150 delegates. And I needed to get half of those to become. But I was so feeling so inferior to it that in my mind I was prepared for everybody to tell me, stop dreaming. It is not going to happen. Just go and find something to do with your life. That was what I was feeling like. Then I went to that man. The man is called Chuni. Some of you might have heard him if you used to follow football at the time. So I went to Chuni and I told him that I want to become FUFA president. Then he called some brother of his, also a football muyaye. But they were my friends, not my friends, but they knew me. And so he called him and said, Gundi, first come here. So we went and sat. Then he told me that this one told his friend, Kableta yagala kufuga FUFA. Then I was expecting the friend to laugh and to say that, what a pipe dream. Then they said, chisoboka, katugenda kola wetu. They started planning for me to be FUFA president. And I was like, look at these guys, are they crazy? Now, I was almost praying that they dismiss me. But they refused. Now, valiant men whose hearts go at what? Because everybody else outside of that, I'm telling you, would have dismissed it. Because of this man who was dispensing money like no problem. Because he has some scholar, and he hated me with a passion for some reason, with good reason. And so, these guys actually started planning. Now, we need 80 delegates. Then they started looking at the regions. That Buganda here can be a bit tight, but let us start with West Nile, then to the north, then where? I would have 70. If we get 70, then we just have, who are assured, then we just need 6. Then they said, then I'm looking at the guys and saying, look at these crazy people. I was like, Saul. So, eventually, they didn't let me down. I let them down. I just cut off myself. Then after some time, the guy said, now you took us on a wild goose chase. For us, we're already moving. But I was like, no, I'm not ready. But you see, as far as God was concerned, I was ready. Okay? But as far as I was concerned, I was woefully unready, completely unready. And he even sent me his valiant men, like Saul. But I dismissed them. Because this, imagine these people followed Saul home. Samuel dismissed everybody and said, everyone go to your home. These guys didn't go to their home. They went with Saul to his home. Because they feel attached to him. Anyway. Now, so there was something that God wanted to do. But I wasn't ready for it. In other words, I was a soldier, a believer. But I was not yet ready to be deployed. Amen? I was undeployable. Now, everything that I say here is for the purpose of getting you to a place where you can be deployed. Amen? Where, like, you are confident enough in yourself and in the fact that you're confident in yourself, that's not a bad thing. As you know, the scripture says not to lose your confidence, which has a great reward. But you kind of know the God you serve, and you know that you don't have to be in a certain place for him to take you there. Amen? In other words, that was the difference between the whole of the army of Israel and David. David came when I'm ready to be deployed. So when he comes, he sees and says, is there not a cause? So I am prepared for this deployment. But the people who are supposed to be trained, who have been trained in army and so on, none of them was prepared. But the reason David was prepared and they were not is because now this was unconventional warfare. This was one versus one. And he knew that. And of course, God had prepared him before. Okay? And stories which nobody knew about except himself. Where what he learned is how to just get to know that God is with you. Eh? And you can say, yeah, I know God is with me. But you know, sometimes you don't know. There's only two times when the Lord told me, shut up. One of them, I've said before, the other one was when I was joining politics. And then I was praying, saying, some people had said some things. And I was praying, saying, Lord, may your protection be upon me. Then he says, shut up. It has always been upon you. Eh? Like, you mean you're just saying that now? You mean you have to ask me to protect you? And then actually you realize that you are, because it has been there, you know it. Eh? But you're still getting in the place where, are you ready to be deployed? Now, unfortunately, not too many people actually are in a place where they can be deployed. And I'm going to tell you why. Now, there was something for me there, which if I could have pursued and could have taken me somewhere, by the way. But I chickened out. My valiant men also decided to support somebody else. But they kept on telling me, Negwe Kableta, Chewatukoda, what? And can you imagine? I'm looking at them saying, can't you see the person you're supporting now is in a better place? But as far as their eyes were concerned, they actually felt I would have been a better choice. And I didn't even know what eyes they were. I thought what kind of sunglasses they are putting on to see it that way. But when God has touched people, somehow they see you in a way that you may not even be able to see yourself. Anyhow, but so what I did after that, because it kept on, you know, every time they would tell me, I would realize that maybe I should have pursued that thing. Maybe I should have pursued that thing. So it was kind of a sort of regret. Now, so I set out after that and said, the next thing God sends me to, I am not going to chicken out. And somehow I built my confidence, and so many other things. And to the point that now, even if you give me FUFA free of charge, I would say find somebody of that level. Me, I'm of a higher level. You understand? Eh? But at that time, it seemed like so far away, like I was climbing Everest. You understand? Now it seems like you're giving me a challenge of climbing an anthill. I say, what? FUFA, man, I'm not at that level. You see? Eh? So there is something that you do within yourself to move from this level to the other level, you see, eh? Where now, and now even God will give you that challenge, of course, knowing very well you're going to fear. But then he wants that to be a stepping stone to the next challenge, you understand? So now when another challenge comes, I remember, I am not going to do what I did that time. You understand? So even God knows that you're going to chicken out, but let me give it to you anyway, so that it can be that thing that you look back to and say, I will not do it again. Praise the Lord. Now, by the time the next assignment comes, I am super ready to be deployed. Okay? Anywhere. By the way, anywhere. And now what happens is, first of all, you start magnifying God and seeing Him for who He is. You see, eh? Because if that time I said, but if God wants me to, then I can do it. But you see, that's something you can say with your lips when you're not ready to be deployed. But at some stage, you are scared of it. And the fear is sometimes natural and so on. But there's a reason why sometimes people be very scared and they miss out on scenarios like that. Now, David comes and there's unconventional warfare. And that's all he knows. And he knows that. And they even try to give him, put on this, you know, this armor and what. Because the conventional style is seeking some of the glory in case it happens. So they give you armor and they give you what. And he says, ah, man, I can't manage this. So he throws it off. Because now God does not want conventional. He wants unconventional. Now this is where we are going. Praise the Lord. There are things which I can speak here. And even some of you say, but you man, do you know what you're talking about? I know. You see, eh? I know. You understand? Eh? I know. I know what I'm talking about. I know that what is apparently the challenge. But I also know enough to know that this is a battle of kingdoms. Amen? Now, when you don't realize that it is a battle of kingdoms, you come with an inferiority. But now when you realize it is not a battle of people, it is a battle of kingdoms, then I know my kingdom can never lose. Amen? Now, the other kingdom can have all the armor, all the ammunition, all the what, all the spies, all what, but they are going to lose. Because I do not come in my name. Praise the Lord. They come in the name of virtuous demons. I come in the name of the Lord who spoke this earth into being. Amen? And in the name of the God who is in charge of their next breath. You understand? Eh? You cannot beat me. You cannot. There is nothing they can do to beat me. Now, some of you are saying, "How? But you, man, there is nothing." You understand? Eh? Now, the difference between me and you is that you're still scared, too scared to be deployed. When Goliath comes and says, "Why?" then you run. 1 day, 2 days, 40 days, 40 years. No. Now me, I'm super ready to be deployed. Praise the Lord. And I never come like... And the purpose of everything I do here is to get you to a place where you are deployable. You understand? Where you understand who you serve, who exactly you serve, and you understand what place you have in Him, and you've learned how to be led by Him, and so you go with the confidence. Okay? And we've talked about that thing so much. Now, but you see, people do not understand. The reason people find it very difficult to be in this place is because they don't understand that these are two kingdoms. And the kingdom of the world, what Jesus calls the world, has had its imprint on you all throughout your life. When you are born, they teach you their languages, they teach you their whatever, they teach you how to go to hospital when you're sick, then you shiver, then you go, then they tell you there is, you know, there is a... And they train you in their ways. Eh? And you don't understand this is a system in which you're being trained, and then you come to a place where you know this is how you get money, this is how you get rich, this is how you get what, these are the superstars you are supposed to look up to. Steve Jobs said this and what, and they have put their things on you, eh? And systematically, then even the education, they have put education on you that you find it so difficult sometimes to believe simple spiritual things. Now, people don't understand how education, it has its advantages since you are living in the world, even if you are not of it. But how it messes up people's, you know, minds, and makes things which are supposed to be simple become so distant, very distant. And you want to believe them, and you listen to them, and they sound good, but you are like, but really? Because now I'll give you an example. There is a group of people in Bunyoro who say that Museveni took their land. So every day they would gather in some place not far away from town, and they would do their witchcraft. It was an open ground, not far away from Hoima City. Actually, just within the city, everyone passing there sees them. So they would light a fire in the morning and start drumming and going around the fire. And in the evening, one of them would sit in the fire. and start driving in the blazing flames. Then people are dancing. Then the guy in the midst of the fire for like 30 minutes, then he would come out unscathed. Now, for them, I know those are people from those places, Buganga is and where. From childhood, they are taught witchcraft. They are not taught Pythagoras theory. They are not taught, whatever. They have never stepped in school, so they don't have any knowledge to counter their spiritual knowledge. You understand? Now, those of you who make people go and dig at night when they are in their sleep, and you wake up and your legs are what? Are dirty. Like, that is all the knowledge they have. So it is so simple for them to be in spiritual, because they are, it's not countered with mathematics, science, what, vichi, luzungu, what is the meaning of what, you know, that sort of thing. Nothing. They don't know any other language apart from their indigenous language. In other words, they have no unbelief towards the spiritual realm. Eh? That's all they know. All they know. One of them would even, and he would do it openly, like just to show off. He would sit on a motorcycle, and lie back behind like this. And the motorbike rides itself. Okay, there must have been some demon riding it. But then he would come into Hoima town when we were young. And everybody knows he comes when he's lying behind like this on a chair. And the motorbike is taking itself. Then it goes and parks where he wants it to park. Now, then you realize. Now, one of them even after some, when we were, at some stage, one of them even became my friend. I didn't even know that about him. He just called me and says, "Is this thing for what? You know, Banyoro what?" So I was idle. So I went. So we'd meet somewhere in town, some coffee and what. So the guy would start telling me, "We have to do this." When I got to know the guy, they told me there would be a meeting where they are waiting for him, a group of people waiting for him. Then they are there, and they know his car. Then they are seated, scattered. The next minute, he's seated right there on the table. And nobody has seen him walking in. And the guy absolutely teleports. Then the people are outside, expecting to see his car coming, and he walks in. Suddenly, "Hey, Omkuru Aizire." Then the guy is seated there. Now, I didn't know that about him. I didn't know that the guy was what? And they even called him high priest. We used to sit and take coffee. I didn't know the guy. But now, those are guys who have grown up. Eh? Like, even in their villages, the only thing they talk about is that. They will say that, but the only thing they talk about is witchcraft. Like, that is their life. You understand? Now, that's how the kingdom of darkness has prepared its people. Now, people like that, when he came up to fight, actually, there was a natural respect people had for him because of that. And he was pushed that thing up to somewhere. The trouble is the person they were fighting is also very high in those things. Eh? So it's a matter of one kingdom against the other. And I don't know who will win in that kingdom. But that kingdom has so many people representing it. Eh? Anyhow, so now, go to Psalms 11. I want to tell you this, that the reason people are not deployed is because they don't understand that when you get born again, you have to start unlearning so many things that you learned in order to put yourself in a place of being deployed. You have to get off the foundation of the kingdom of this world. And they have their foundations. Don't understand it's a system that has been built, and the god of that system is the devil. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 5 somewhere, that I think verse 11, that the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. He has his system, all the education, all the financial systems, all what. There's somebody whom I told one day, because you seem to be doing so well financially. And I told him that you get off the system that you know and pitch your thing on the system of God. Because that system does not wish you well. There is no way you can be in that system and you're born again and you depend on it and you become rich. It is impossible. Okay? Because the system is all there to fight you. Now, if you take yourself there, they will bring you down so easily. You understand? But now, they cannot bring me down because I'm not on their system. And the system I'm on is higher than theirs. Much higher than theirs. You understand? But if you go there, if I went and pitched there and said, "Now, this is how I'm going to prosper," they can tear you down in a very short time. Now, the Lord gives us time to get off that system, because it's all you've known. You know this. You know when you get sick there's a kakere end. When you what? There's some move. Everything. There's something. The system of the world, you know how it works. It works on the basis of selling and buying. That's how the whole system of the world works. The financial system of the world. The financial system of Babylon. Buying and selling. Okay? So even if you're a professional, you go and pay money to get your medicine degree, and then afterwards you sell your knowledge. Okay? For money. So everything is buying and selling. You don't even have to be in business. You go and get your law degree by paying money, then you sell your knowledge to somebody who needs your services. Now, the kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is based on sowing and reaping. Amen? But even if you are there, you can actually have a foundation that is not of there. Okay? You can have a foundation where I'm here. Let's say I'm a doctor, or let's say a lawyer. But I am not dependent on this system. I am hooked onto the system of God. That is the only way you come out, actually can be sure that every step you take forward, you never go back. Okay? And be sure that today, what you are, is the smallest you will ever be. Amen? You are getting bigger and bigger because you are hooked onto another system. And this other system, there is no plant which grows backwards. You understand? This system is based on growth upwards and forward. So you plant something there and you expect it to grow. Now, if you're hooked onto the system of God, of sowing and reaping, you know that's how your life is going to be. But for the most part, people, their foundations are shifted. So they don't get the basics of this system. Now, the system of God in the Old and the New Testament is based on faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay? That's why I've taken you back now and started teaching you basic things, foundational things. Because until you understand that the only thing God is ever going to give is His word, you are not yet ready to be deployed. Amen? Because He's going to give you His word, either in the scripture or Rhema. And you are supposed to use that word to achieve everything. And you go in the confidence of the word of God. You understand? Now, when you don't understand faith, when you don't understand that this word comes with the power of the person who gave it, when you're still scared, you are not yet ready to be deployed. When you can still be there, you know, and I've heard people saying this, and I know what God has called me to do. I know there is no force in this world that can stop me from doing it. Praise the Lord. And that's what I'm confident on. I know I have a word. I have a word from God. And that word is like my rear, is like my shield, my buckler, my rear. Everything I need is in that one word. Now, if you don't understand what Psalms 107 says, verse 20, He gave His word, okay, and delivered them for all their days. That's all He's going to give. Then you're not yet ready for deployment. Because God has given you a word. And now that word is not supposed to be confused. Now, this is where the mistake people make, is because you end up mixing that word with so many other words, then you end up in unbelief. Because you don't know how to protect that word. You see, now when you have a word, you have to protect it, because there will be counter words, isn't it? Do you know how many counter words like you receive every day? But you have a word, and you have to protect it jealously, very jealously, because until it has your full attention, it will not give birth. You have to give it all your attention. You have to wrap yourself around it, or wrap that word around yourself and say, because God has given me a word, and there is no force greater than His. Okay? Nothing can happen to me. Praise the Lord. Nothing. Even if the whole forces of the world come up against me and I have the word of God, God will end up winner. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to understand that it takes you some time. Now, when I come to this place, now I'm ready for deployment. Because He can tell you, like Daniel, you're going to the kingdom of Persia. But I don't want you to become like them. And you go there, and all of your friends, those who are not mentioned, all of them change and become like Persia. And they start behaving like Persians. Then they probably even get a Persian accent. Then they even get, you understand? Eh? Now, And God is saying, do not go there. When you're going there, you're different. And now by being different, you actually turn the whole Persia to honor your God. Praise the Lord. To honor your God to the point that even Nebuchadnezzar, the great king, has to bow down before God. Now, everybody has to bow down. Because a slave boy captured from Judah at the age of around 15 or 16 decided that he's not going to be like them. He's going to come with the knowledge from his place, from Judah, and he's going to impose that knowledge on these people. Now imagine if somebody who is born again becomes president. Praise the Lord. And he says, what is the national debt? 72 trillion, the last time I checked. And then he says that in the ways of the world, we might not be able to pay that debt. And they don't expect us to pay it. But what if he decides that for us, we are going to give a seed of $100 million for the debt of Uganda. And then in 6 months, Uganda is debt free. You understand? Then you understand that he has chosen to use another kingdom altogether. And this other kingdom has its solutions, has its ways. But the people of God are not exactly convinced about those ways. But those ways work, absolutely work. Then you'd say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Then you make sure that you put God first in all things. And then you come out on top of the world. You understand? Because the eyes of the Lord move to and fro all over the world to show himself strong. On behalf of those who trust in him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Now, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Praise the Lord. Now, then you say, now we are going to make our heart loyal. Now then, the focus of God is upon you. And then you are once the most failed state. Nothing works. In 2 or 3 years, you are all there. Everybody admires you. And it has been done in God's time. God's speed. You understand? Because in the natural, there is no way that can happen. In the natural, there is no way Uganda can be a serious country in 5 years. It's not possible. You understand? But in the spiritual, it can take 1 year. And it has manifested. Because now, you say, we are loyal to you. And the eyes of the Lord moving all over the earth, they say, where is there? Uganda. Bam. Then he pitches camp in Uganda. And then you see a difference. Then you know that the system of God, if you really have time to get away from the other system to this system, you will do things in record time, which you can never do, perhaps even never do at all, but you can never certainly do in that time. I'll tell you this. The reason it is so difficult for people to actually trust the system of God is because they have their signals, their channels, their sockets. They are plugged into the other system too much. Far too much. I'll tell you this. If you have a child, even your own child, and it happened to me, I went away for some period of time. And then you come back, and your own kid looks at you and is like this. They have forgotten you. You know that. Now, that's how it is. If you are plugged into the system of the world too much, and not plugged into the system of God, eventually the things of God, which are so simple, will become very, very, very complicated for you. And you see them, okay, I know he can do it. I know he can make, I know he can what, but are you sure? But okay, I know he's God. But you see, you are so distant, and something which is supposed to be easy for other people, which other people find easy, is like you want to believe it. It's good to believe, but it is at a distance. You can't reach your hand and touch it. So you need a lot of time. Now, that's why I came up with this word of the week thing. Now, because I want you to spend at least a good time of your life connected to the word of God. Okay? To something about the word of God. After some time, you'll find that the things which you found difficult to believe are actually very believable. Then the next thing, they are very achievable. Then the next thing, they are in your hands. And now the system is working for you. But you cannot be, maybe you come to fellowship once or twice a week, and the rest of the week, you are connected to something else totally. And you think that you will have the faith. You will not. Amen? You will not. Now, God has given you the choice. You can either decide to give your attention to what he says. After some time, the things of the world start becoming farther and farther, more and more distant. And I remember that happened with, I remember a time when somebody would say, 100 million. Then you say, banange. You understand, eh? Some of you are still at that what? Level. Eh? That, hey, yafunye million chikumi. But you just keep on eating the word of God, eating the word of God. Now, before you actually even touch the 100 million, suddenly it looks like very little. Then you know you're almost there. You understand? Eh? Because in this kingdom of God, it expands you without you. Just by reading those words, you're connecting to the power that created the, you know, this whole world. You understand? Eh? Because that those are his words. So when you listen to his words, you connect with him. And he expands you. Just automatically, inside, inwardly. Now the things which you used to see as very big. What? How many million dollars? Suddenly you start saying, it's just $5 million. Then somebody says, do you have it? No, I don't have it, but it's not a lot of money. But you're getting there. Eh? Previously, it was even unfathomable. Eh? That's how the church went off the scale of the things of God. Because there was a time when everybody believed that God can very easily heal HIV, can heal what? Can cancer and what? It was so easy at that time for people to believe that. Very easy. Nobody struggled to believe it. Even those who had never seen it, somehow they had the concept of the bigness of God and the smallness of these sicknesses. It was in them. They knew. This is just, if God can make all of you out of just clay, how can he fail to take some insect out of your what? Your blood. Yeah. It's like saying if Japanese can make a Toyota, how can they fail to repair a part in the Toyota? You understand? They made the whole thing. So now, you have that concept. But then, you start connecting to the world. Slowly, there's a lot of information, knowledge. And now it comes through knowledge and information and so-called wisdom. And now the things of God start becoming more distant and more distant. I can tell you when I would commit myself. And you have to do this. If you really believe what I'm saying, commit a certain time, amount of time every day to pay attention to a word of God. That's why I'm trying to give these, scriptures. So that you look at them, meditate on them long enough. If you actually did what I was telling you to do, it wouldn't take 3 months before the things which were impossible start looking possible. And now once it becomes possible, you are halfway the journey to getting it. Amen? In your pocket, you are still where you were. But actually, you are in a place where now it is right there. You can see it. And it is not some, pipe dream. But for this to happen, for you to move away from the other system to this one, remember the other system used to attend class from morning up to evening, used to do exams, used to do what? You understand? Eh? This system requires time also. You don't have to go to class, but commit some time of the day and say, for 2 hours, I'm going to be concentrating on this word of God every day. For 2 hours. Just that. Even if you do 1 hour, by the way. Some of you can even struggle to do 2 minutes. But even if you did just 1 hour, and then go to a specific, and like completely gave your full attention to it, it would manufacture something in your life. Now, that's what I call basics. That's what I call foundation. Okay? Because you can never trust something unless you've been exposed to it. That's why children run away when a stranger comes. They can't trust him. But if that stranger stays in the house long enough, the next thing the child will be, carry me, throw me in the air. You see, eh? Because now they have been exposed to him or her long enough to trust them. You understand? Now that's how our souls are. We shall trust the things which we are exposed to. The system of the world has imposed itself over the years. Now we need, and now this one doesn't need 20, it doesn't need all the years you spent in school, no. It just needs a commitment to eat every day for an amount of time. And even all the answers come within there. And now even that commitment, by the way, to make this easy for you, can be just your thought process throughout the day. You know when you're seeking God, you actually seek him, even when you're doing other things. Eh? But you're asking a question. You know, your mind is in a place of searching. You know, why is this not like? Why is this not working? Should I do this? Should I go here? Should I what? You know, and you're actually seeking the Lord, even when you're busy doing something. You can do so many things when your heart or your soul has been put in that place of seeking the Lord, and you're seeking for an answer. So it's not just those, like that time you spend alone. No, that time goes with you throughout the day, as much as is possible. Now, you just do that and see. Now, this is the very, very foundation. Now, you give it to me in what? In Amplified Classic. My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Attend to my words. Incline your ear to my words. Now, of course, I'm saying this because I know that there are so many things calling for your attention. This, that, the other. And only one of them will you actually completely incline your ear to. You don't have ears for five things. Others, you treat as trivial. You listen to this. Hey, do you know what is this? Hey, can you imagine this joke? Say, hey, man, that's very funny. But then you go back to where you were before. Okay? I remember Kenneth Hagin saying one day he read the whole chapter of a Bible. He had gone to visit some preacher where he was preaching. And so you'd stay at the house of the pastor. So in the evening, the pastor told him all these wonderful jokes. You know, there's this thing, what? Yeah, interesting jokes. And he would laugh and so on. Then he told him that, but I wonder how good a memory you have to like completely read the whole chapter of the Bible from your head, word for word. Then Kenneth Hagin said in his mind, he was saying, if you gave as much attention to the word as you did to jokes, you'd be able to do it. But of course, you can't be that impolite, especially when you're staying in somebody's house. But the point is that you can decide what is important, okay, and what is not important. If you decide that the word of God is important, it is going to transform your life. And you'll have a much better life. You'll live a testimony. And you can go from one big testimony to another. And people wonder, why is it that you're the only one who is what? Apparently favored. But because there is something inside you which you treasured. Now everywhere, somewhere is treasuring. Somebody is treasuring memes. Another is treasuring jokes. Another is treasuring what? Now for you, choose to treasure. Incline your ear to the word of God. Now, you know, people, you know, your pastor, and you can recite joke after joke after joke after joke, and they are funny and it's nice, and the man of God is impressed, but he knows where you inclined your ear. So he says, attend to my words, attend to my words. His words are being spoken. How attentive are you when they are spoken, and how much will you carry them with you when you go? Or are they just for a limited time of the week, and after here, yeah, it's time for tea, praise the Lord. And after tea, you can't even have a single recollection of what was said here. Now that is, I'm thinking, about 50% of you. Okay, maybe I'm being mean. But okay, a percentage of you. Praise the Lord. But then somewhere, somehow, somebody will tell you a joke, and 5 years down the road, you remember it. So now then we know where you are paying your attention. You understand? Because the mind knows how to sieve what it feels is important. You decide what is important to you, understand? Now, the mind knows how to throw out what you have decided is not important, or your memory, and you retain what you have decided. You yourself have decided is important. Now, if you decided the words of God were important, your mind would retain them and throw out, okay, you would laugh at a joke, but tomorrow you can't remember it. Then you know that you've actually moved a certain step in paying that, you know, clear attention to the word of God. Consent and submit to my sayings. Verse 21. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst, in the center of your heart. Now, those are very difficult things, by the way, because we live in a world where there are so many distractions, so many things calling for your attention, But he says that keep them in the center of your heart. Let them not depart from your sight. For they are life to those who find them. Now, life means everything concerning life. Okay? Everything that is about life. Meaning health, meaning prosperity, meaning protection, meaning what? All the things that you desire in life. A good life. These words are a life to those who find them. Now, remember, it says who find them. It doesn't say who hear them. No, those who find them. Because, you see, there is a seeking. You have to seek, and then you really get into the inside the word and start dissecting it. The way you used to dissect equations in what? In school. Can you imagine, for all these years since I was in school, people are still trying to find the value of X. I said, I thought we had found it when we were there. But even students, now they are saying, what is the value of X? Then you say, but is it? Anyway, that's just a joke. At least they should get another letter. That if 4X squared over 1... What is the value of X? I said, but I thought we found it out when what? When we were in school. It's like Tom and Jerry. They are chasing each other from when we were kids. Up to now, they are still chasing each other. Praise the Lord. Now, it says, they are life to those who find them. Find them. Because the word comes and it is there. Now, you have to dig enough for you to find it. And then it says, they are health to all their flesh. Anyway, go to Psalms 11. In the Lord, I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Verse 2. For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in hand. So now he's saying, the wicked, all the time, not at any one stage, I mean, at no one stage are the wicked not pursuing the righteous. He says they bend their arrow and they point it in the direction of the righteous. And the righteous have to know what to do in a scenario like that. Amen? And those scenarios happen all the time. Then he says in verse 3 that if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, I'm telling you that when the foundation of faith and of understanding how the kingdom of God works has shifted, the righteous are powerless. They can do nothing. They are not. They cannot be deployed. Now look at the old church, the way they are. That's why they go and bow down to what? Servants of the devil. Because the foundation shifted. And the foundation is faith. What I've told you before, fight the good fight of faith. Okay? That is the foundation. That without knowing that my security is in the Lord, everything I am is in the Lord, no one can shake me. Even if you appear to be shaken, you confess, I cannot be shaken. Without knowing that, as long as you're still trusting in financial Babylon, as long as you're still trusting in medical Babylon, okay, or in all other Babylons, and you're still quoting wise sayings of apparently wise people. You know Buddha say, no, not Buddha, there's this man who they quote a lot, Gandhi. What are you doing quoting Gandhi? Are you a fool? But you see, you've pitched something, and now it seems simple. Simple, you just, and those things sound intelligent, you understand? Eh? But, somewhere, somebody is busy quoting a scripture. Now, thanks be to God who always leads me in triumph in Christ Jesus. And then he wraps himself around that and says, even if I go through what, I know God is just leading me at the end of it, triumph. You understand? Eh? And you know it. And somebody is busy quoting Gandhi, who is dead and in hell. Now, how do you reconcile that? How do you expect to have the life of God when you're busy quoting Gandhi? But you see, that is wisdom Babylon. Then there is intellectual Babylon. Remember the word of God says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Now when you come quoting those and you sound wise, God is saying you're foolish. Foolish. Because you can quote the maker of heaven and earth and then you go and quote Gandhi or Steve Jobs. Are you totally crazy? You see, are they going to add anything to you? But when you quote the word of God, with every time you mention it, that word is built inside you. And the power of him who spoke it gets inside you. And suddenly you increase in might and start seeing things which were impossible as if they are possible. Even on your businesses. Now, do you know why, for instance, the world says that, men of God take advantage of what? Because you find men of God who are apparently very rich and so on, and their flock are not as rich. But do you know why that sometimes is the case? And it's so very much is the case. Because for us, we spend the time in the Word of God. And you're behaving as if we are chefs and you are the person in the restaurant. You go and read, go and meditate, go and pray. First, you come and preach to us. Hey, my dear, that's not how it works. You see, eh? Now, for us, maybe we are forced by some circumstances. But we have to be in the Word of God. Now, that has to be you. You can get a scripture and wrap. Somebody was telling me the other day, she has a business. some kind of consultancy and so on. She got one scripture and made it the focal point of her business. And she's seeing success after success. This is somebody from the village. Now she's somewhere in Washington. Studying, not staying there. Staying there, I would despise it. But studying and coming back. Now, just one scripture. One. You don't need the whole Bible. You understand? Eh? Your business, just one sentence spoken by God can take you from a pauper to a billionaire. One sentence. But you have to put this idea. You have to get off the financial, the Babylon, and say the system of God works like this. Now, I'll tell you. I'll tell you, for instance, my partnership meeting. Some people do not see the success they once saw because they started with reverence, but at some stage, they get kamanyiro. You understand? Now, let me tell you. If you're giving to God, you have to give with reverence. If you do not give with reverence, it's better you don't give. You can see people's attitudes because sometimes they come to see you and they want some consultation and they want some help, they want prayer and they want... First of all, even the reason you're still in the category of people who have been savida and savida is because you've refused to focus on the word of God. If you did focus on this, you would not need anybody to pray for you. Except maybe in certain scenarios where you're attacked by something which is above your authority level. There then you can maybe come for prayer. But otherwise, for the most part, you would not need anybody to pray for you. The word of God is there applicable for all of us. And we teach you so that you get to the point where you are ready to be deployed. Now I know God is God. I know he sits on the throne. I know nobody can scare me. You can't scare me with guns. You can't scare me with poison. You can't scare me with what? I am ready. When God called me, he knew all those things were there. So he will take care of them. You understand? Eh? Now I'm ready for deployment, like David. And you approach and say, who is this Philistine? Everybody is scared of them, for you are saying, who is this Philistine? And your attitude is totally different. Now, but because the foundations shifted or were destroyed, because when we started, it was so easy for people to believe certain things. Even those who didn't see them. You not tell people, do you know that now, Baroko, if you say, bring the sick, bring the lame, and what, they will mock you. Because the foundation shifted. But there was a time when people would say that, and people would go there in faith. And so many times people would not walk, but they would not mock anybody. They would know that, okay, it hasn't worked. Now it's going to work again. But you see, there is a certain system of the world which uses mockery to despise the things of God. It doesn't work once, then you say, ah, it's fake. But how many things have you done which haven't worked? Some of you even had to ask 10 girls out before you got somebody to say yes. But you continued asking them out. You didn't say, ah, now I'm Mivudeko. No. You see. But you see, one thing in the kingdom of God doesn't work. Instead of going and asking God, but why isn't this working? How come it has not worked for me? If you ask him, he will tell you. You just say, ah, man. Then sometimes you don't attack it openly because you are too good. Eh? But you close yourself out to it. And then when somebody says something in that line, your heart is closed. You will not mock. You will not do anything. But you know your heart is closed towards it because you are hurt. Okay? But then, the word of God is always true. Amen? And God is always faithful. So usually it's because there is something that you have not done right. Or maybe because you quit too early. And if you actually decided, I am not going to quit. I'm going to pursue this thing until I see its logical conclusion. Then, he will start guiding you, leading you into triumph. Praise the Lord. Until you arrive there. Now. But the foundations were destroyed so much, so much. That the things which we found so easy to believe before, we no longer believe. I'm not saying we. You understand? But actually, if you're not careful, even you get yourself being drawn into that apathy. You see? Eh? There's a guy who used to minister with me here at Watchman some time ago. And he was a very daring person. A lot more daring than he was anointed. But don't try telling him that. But he used to tell people, eh? Now come, I'm going to make your leg grow taller. And what? Now the trouble is that he would say, yes, has grown taller. When he's lying, he doesn't. Eh? But now, I don't mind the attempt. And now people will tell me, but you know, Chesimo, I said, no, I would rather somebody who is daring beyond than somebody who settles and says, man, I can't do that. What if it doesn't happen? Like, that's how religion is formed. Because you get scared of what doesn't happen. Praise the Lord. But what if it happens? Amen. If you pray for 10 people who are sick and one of them is healed, that means one person who would have been sick is healed. Now, why do you think about the 9? You're not the one who made them sick. But at least this one, you're the one who did what? Yes. So think about the one whom you healed. Now, because you see the devil would want to make you think. Let me tell you, throughout the great healing evangelists, not a single person can say that. The only person who they say he healed all of them was Jesus. Like 7 times in the gospel. They said they brought all the people and he healed all of them. Now, outside of Jesus, everybody has results which are some healed, some are not healed. But you see, the scripture will tell you that Paul raised somebody who had fallen from a window from the dead. But do you know how many times, possibly, Paul tried to raise somebody and the person was buried? We don't want to know. For us, we know that there was one who was dead and who rose from the dead. You see, faith works on focusing on the positive. You have to deliberately focus on the positive. You have to deliberately focus on somebody who was broke, but now is blessed. Somebody who has a good marriage. You see, there are people who are experts at looking at what is wrong with other people's marriages. Yeah, they pretend to be happy, but yeah, they are not. Me, I know they are secrets. Now you are, like, the devil has taken control of your mind. Eh? Now, somewhere, there are people who are happy they married. But those ones, you are not interested. You're interested only in those who have failed. Now, you're setting yourself up for failure because you've inclined your ear to failure. Amen? So now, the foundation was shifted. And now that's where the problem comes. And they are destroyed. And the righteous can do nothing. Now, let me tell you this. Until you actually learn this foundational truth that I'm telling you, of you can get one word and it makes all your life, I'm telling you, you will be in church, you will go to church, you will do what? You will even get powerful prophetic words. But you will remain where you are. Because what else is God going to give you? Only just a word. But that's the most powerful thing. He used his word to create the world. So imagine you come and let's say you hear a message. Then you say, no, I want to meet him. What? In private. So that's what? So because you are trying to demean what was said there and magnify something else that you don't have. Now that already shows you have a problem. You understand? It already shows you have a problem. But when the foundation has been set in faith and you know that I can do anything, and your foundation is firm, I am telling you that every word you hear, you're adding layers onto the building of your life, and it is valuable, and it takes you somewhere. Amen? There are people whom I'm telling you, they will listen, even if you gave them a very powerful prophetic word, anybody, it is not going to benefit them because the foundation is not there. You cannot build a story building starting just on the grass. And say, now let's just start putting the matafari there. It's going to collapse. Now, if the foundation is not there, there is not going to be anything. Now, the reason we sometimes go into these foundational things, of without faith, it is impossible to please God. Fight the good fight of faith. Get something and fight the good fight of faith on it. Amen? Now, sometimes people try fighting and somewhere in the middle, they fail. Now, you get sick. You try to believe for healing. Then at some stage, okay, you say, man, now things are tight. So you go a bit to what? Medical Babylon. Then the devil tells you, hey, you have not, let me tell you, you have moved. You see, now that's the thing of the devil. Because if you tried to believe, and let's say the miracle was there, where that Paul is, the first time you try, you take steps, then you fail here. Have you ever watched American football? If you know how it is. When somebody goes closer to the other side, they have not scored, but they are going closer. You understand? Or even football, the football, you know. So now, the next time you try, even then you might take another step, then fail. Then you say, ah, let me just take what? A pill. And the devil says, ah, you failed twice. You've not failed twice. You were there, now you are here. The miracle is there. Amen? There is no time you try anything in the word of God and you fail. You don't. You might not reach the whatever, but you're being led in triumph. Okay? Now, as long as you're believing, you will not be moving the other side when the miracle is here. No, you will not. But you see, the devil is mad, and you can leave that place when you're despondent and discouraged. Don't be. You tried to acquire a house, it failed. Don't be discouraged. Don't. You have moved the distance. You are somewhere. Now, the next time you try, you will not start from there again. You start from here. Okay? Then, the next time you might actually reach it, and then now it happens. And now in your mind, it happened the third time. No, it happened three times. Only they were spread out. Okay? Okay, let me start by saying this. If you don't learn these foundational principles, you're going to listen to powerful prophetic words. This is the year of praise. This is what? And you'll not be in position to eat them. You understand? Eh? Because if the foundation is destroyed, what can a righteous person do? Praise the Lord. Now, here I'm giving you foundational principles. Everybody has to learn how to live by faith. Everybody. You have to learn how to stand up and profess that I am blessed beyond measure when you absolutely have nothing to eat for breakfast. That is faith. And that does not leave you the same. It might not yield something in the, there and then. Eh? You see, the problem is now we are living in this instant generation. Everything is instant, instant, instant. The time we used to line up to go and get money from the bank. But now it's instant. Now instant what? Instant coffee. Instant what? Now, you know. Now we expect that even the kingdom of God is supposed to adjust itself to that. No. Every time you profess that you are blessed, you have taken a step towards seeing the manifestation of it. You don't have to see it that time. But if now you discourage yourself and say, but I've been saying that for 3 months and I haven't seen anything. Huh? Let me go back to the other example. You've been asking people out for 3 months and you're still seeing. But because it is not a kingdom of God, you are going to keep on believing. Eh? But when it comes to the kingdom of God, you don't want to keep on believing. Now, let me say this again. Every time you do or say or speak or attempt something in faith, you are moving some distance. Amen? You might not have reached there where you hold on to the thing, but you are taking steps in that direction. And just keep on taking steps in what? In that direction. Just keep on taking. Just keep on professing it. Just keep on confessing it. Just keep on saying it. Just keep on believing it. And you're taking steps in that direction. Okay? Taking steps in that direction. And you keep on professing, professing. Now, when you're about to reach, that's when the attacks become heavy. You understand? Eh? Now, when you're running and you're like, oh, you're moving and now the thing is here. And you're about to reach, that's when you'll see what the devil, he will bring everything. Because he knows if you just press through a little, you have entered a different realm. Because once you see it happen once, you are never the same again. You will never be the same. Once it happens once, you don't need 10 times. The first time when you said, I was sick, I had malaria, I tested positive, I believed God, and I'm healed. That is it. You will never be the same. That becomes your reference point. Every time you what you remember, but that time I believed. Now the problem in the church is there are very many people who have no reference point, nothing. There is nothing they can reference and say, this one I believed and I got it by faith. Others, because the devil knows, and I know some like that, there are people who are used to kuyia. Eh? So now they believe, they profess, they what, they meditate, they what. Then when the thing is about to appear by faith, then the devil gives them some kind of deal. You see, eh? What they are used to. And he will always attack you with what you are used to. Then he comes up with something you are used to doing. And then what? Then the next thing you know, you've taken that thing. You've been diverted. Ooh, you've gone right back. And you were there. Praise the Lord. There's a reason I'm repeating this. Eh? Because I'm telling you, this is what is going to make you ready for deployment. Amen? Now, where I am, I can believe anything as long as I know the Lord has said it. The only doubt I might have is, am I absolutely sure? But there was also a time when I could hear a word, a clear word from God, and I don't move. a clear word from God. Like, for instance, I've told you this before. There was a time I went to pray somewhere in Entebbe. Now I was fasting. So, you know, yeah, move, walk around a bit and pray and pray and pray and watch. And then come back to the hotel in the evening. Now in the evening, I just come back to the hotel. And I was actually fasting about something to do with Watchman and so on. Then the Lord told me something which was apparently offside from what I was seeking. He told me that, and I remember the words so well, and they were so clear. He told me, the problem with you is that you think that sickness is a biological dysfunction and not demonic operation. That's why you tolerate it in your body. Can you imagine? I had such a wonderful word, and afterwards I continued taking pills. But now, I was 100% sure, it was so clear. I was praying for other things. He said, the problem with you is, then I listened, then I first sat down. I say, I know the truth is sickness is demonic oppression. But anyway. Man, now what is God supposed to do with somebody like you? Like, you are unhelpable. You see, you are undeployable. Maybe that makes you deplorable. Now, there are so many, and I know it. You hear a wonderful word, it will not shake you out of some thing. But do you know why that is the case? Sometimes because you have not inclined your ear. The more you incline your ear to his things, is the more that you actually find it easy, that every word takes you to the next step. To the next step. Let me tell you something. When the Lord issues a word, it is so, so easy at that time to accomplish it, because his word comes with a season. So he has come with the grace to heal you. If I'd just taken a stand at that time, that would be the end of. You see, eh? But if I wait 3 months, now I can still get healed because the word of God is true all the time. But it's different. The other time, a season had been unleashed for you. There are certain things, especially even walking in spiritual realities, eh? Where you have to take advantage of when the Lord tells you something, when the Lord brings something to your attention, that you know now you can do this, eh? And then you don't take it seriously. Or you think, now I'm in the middle of this, I'll do that later. Man, mistake. Once it comes to the middle of your attention, even if it tells you, do you know that you can actually levitate? Now it might be far away from you, but if you hear him saying it, that is the opportunity. Jump on it immediately, because there it will become 100 times easier. And then you rule. By the time that season passes, you've perfected it. I'm giving you an example. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Start from verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Go to the next verse. This is the foundation he's talking. But in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and silver. In other words, the foundation of God knows who are his. God knows who are his vessels. But then he also knows what caliber of vessels they are. Okay? How they can be deployed. Some of them are going to be deployed to arrange chairs and so on, but yet they have a big calling. But because they have not yet built themselves up to being deployable, they will still be, you know, in the process of learning. So he says, but in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. All these are vessels in a great house, all of them in the same great house, in the house of God. Some are of gold, silver, wood, clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. Okay, now go to the next verse. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter. Now, not go to what he was talking about, the latter. But he's saying, if anyone cleanses himself from the worldly system, that's what it takes. If you cleanse yourself from the system of the world and hook strictly to the system of God and trust in it and say, I am going to make this happen by faith in the word of God, and you hold on to it, then he says, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared to be deployed. Amen? Now, I'll stop there. It says, prepared. Now, there are things which work in a certain way. For instance, the other kingdom, there are things which work. And in this kingdom, there are things which work. I was telling people in partnership meeting, You can give your tithe and your offering, but if you don't give it with reverence, as if you're giving it to your Creator, it will not get what it could have gotten. Amen? Because there are people who... God wants to be put first. He's the king in this kingdom. Amen? And he stated in his word that I will honor those who honor me. If you honor him, he will honor you. And he says that those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Now, how do you honor God? By the for the most part, everything about honor in the Bible is concerning giving. You see, eh? When it talks about honor, honor your father and your mother. It means give them money. Okay, the other honor also. But also what? Money. Eh. And now God will show you. You cannot be there, and your mom is there broke, and you're making money, and somehow you prosper. Why? You're not. The scripture says, let her who gave birth to you be in delight. Eh? Eh. When I go and give my mother some, she's man. Eh? One day she says, ha, wojong kazara. Now, when she's happy, you are blessed. You understand? Eh? Because that's a very, very... Now, a lot of times, when he's talking about honor, he's talking about what? Money. Now, he says, those who honor him will be honored among men. Now, that means that you give him first, the first portion. So, you get your kadir of 10 million. Hmm? And the first thought that crosses your mind is my tithe. Then God says, hey, okay, you've honored me now. Okay? Then the next thought that crosses is maybe your partnership or whatever it is. Eh? Then now you've honored him. Now the rest of the money will be sweet for you. You understand? Eh? And you will eat it with a certain sense of joy because you honored God. And then he will honor you. That's how people come from nothing to something. I'm telling you. Now, if you think that you are going to give as if you're giving a human being, and the way some people give with a lot of, you know, and you know, somebody can come and give you 50K and they behave as if they have transformed your life. Like with very little reverence. Zero reverence. And then, you know, sometimes actually, and I've said this before, sometimes they even come and see me here and I say, put it down there. And when I'm walking away going to my car, I leave it there. Because there is no reverence. Not for me, for God. You're not giving me because I did something for you. You're giving it to me as a minister of God, isn't it? So now you give it with reverence. Not like, give it with reverence. You will see how it works for you. Amen? Now we've done this before as a ministry. The first partnership I gave was 200,000 a month. Praise the Lord. Now our partnership has, which man is 40 million a month. Okay? I get there by being reverential. Every money I get, the first thing I ask, God, how much of this is mine? Not his. How much is mine? And he will say, ah, that one, just give a tithe, the rest is yours. Other times he says, none is yours. All of it is what? Is mine. Now, when you learn to live like that, you will go from glory to glory. I'm telling you. Because you've given God honor. Let me read this scripture, which even I had not thought to read. Malachi chapter 1. I read this in partnership, but let me read it for you. Because some of you don't understand that this kingdom has its principles. It works by faith. You have to honor the king. Because the king gives... Let me tell you. In a kingdom, there is no democracy. A king gives anything he wants to whomsoever he wants. He doesn't need a reason. You understand? That's how kingdoms are supposed to be. Even these earthly kingdoms. Long ago, if the Kabaka would say that I've given you a saza of Bulemezi, the only thing you needed was a witness. Even if the Kabaka was drunk, the only thing you need is a what? So you'd go to Bulemezi and say, Kabaka has given me this land. Then they say, who was there? That he was there. Then they start giving you busur. Because the king, not a president. You understand? Now, in a kingdom, the word of the king is a law. The laws of this kingdom are in this scripture. That's how it works. So now, he says, verse 6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name. Now look at this, how the despising is actually so much in the way you give. And he says the priests despise his name. And he says, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? And now this is how so many people say there. How have I despised God? I know he's God. Okay, verse 7. He says, you offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now, listen, this is a process which God puts, the giving. You know that the food they would offer on the altar, God wouldn't come and eat it, would he? Yeah. But he wants it to be the best because it's his process. So bring the best or bring nothing. If you don't want to bring, don't bring. But don't bring with contempt. That can actually cause a curse. So you'd rather not give than give in contempt. And this is what he's saying. You've made the table of the Lord contemptible. Then he goes ahead and he says, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Imagine somebody has a crowd of healthy, good-looking cows. But when it comes to giving to God, he looks for the weakest, the lame, the most useless. Then that's what he takes to God. And now God sees you have despised him. And then he knows you know what you're doing. You've despised him. And then he says, offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Imagine you take your blind cow to the governor. You will not even dare do that because you respect the governor more than you respect God. And God says, I will honor those who honor me. Now, would he accept you favorably, says the Lord, if you give him, go to the governor and give him that? Okay. But now, he says, entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us while this is being done by your hands. Will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? So you want a powerful things. You want to build your house. You're meditating on what? You're meditating on big things. But when it comes to giving, God is contemptible. You go and go to the system of the world and build your house from there. You see, you have to reverence him. You see, eh? Because if you actually want to get the best, and these are the laws of the kingdom. If you want to have the best of this kingdom, you have to give to God the best and with reverence. You can even give a lot, but without reverence. Without a sense of, you know, honor. Okay. He says, but now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. Now that's what the prophet is saying. Entreat Malachi. Entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. In other words, he has not been gracious. He's not happy. Then he says, while this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Then go to the next verse. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you may not kindle the fire on my altar in vain? Now, you know, he's saying he is not happy to the point that he says, shut the doors of the temple and leave your sacrifices. I don't want them. Who can help me and shut those doors? Rather than you bringing lame cows and offering them on my altar, you would rather. And you see, it's not even about him. Because, you know, he says in Psalms 50, that do I eat meat? Eh? If I wanted meat, would I even consult you? But he says, this is about you. You're giving to me for your sake. Because I don't eat meat. And you know I don't eat it. That's God saying. And he said, but even if I did eat it, I would not ask you for meat. Now, but you bring something and you behave as if, you know, and you know that those people might say who come and give you 50k and they behave as if they have transformed your life. You understand? Eh? And now if you're actually giving it to me, don't pretend it's a seed. But in any case, don't give it to me unless it's a seed, because I don't need your money. You see, eh? But if it is a seed, you're not giving to me, you're giving to the person I serve, who called me, praise the Lord, and who has blessed me, and who has given me the anointing to bless. Amen? And who has given me a prosperous anointing. The thing that the people who have honored the anointing of my life have prospered. And I know that for a fact. Now, so he says, who is there among you who can help me shut the doors so that you would not kindle a fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. Now, you see, sometimes when somebody comes and does, I will not accept it even. I will leave it on the table. And then when they come to clean the table, they say, hey, you left money here. I say, it's okay, you go and use it for whatever you want. I don't want to receive it on those terms. Let me tell you, if you really, really want to see the best of the kingdom of God, and you want to see him lift you up, and he has promised, those who, if you honor me, I will honor you. And when God honors you, it is evident. There is no doubt about it. Praise the Lord. Now, don't give in contempt. And don't think of everything else before you think of him. If it is not the first, he wants to be the first. He's the king. First, number one. Micah money. How much? How much? Lord, how much of this is mine? That you just give this and the rest is yours. And then you'll enjoy your money. And then the next money will be coming next. Very soon and very soon. I'm telling you. That's how I came from this level to pam, 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 pam. To a point where some friend of mine came to office one day when I was using the advisory towers. And the guy looked at me and he was really, because like some guy brought 17 million. I put it in these socks and now and brought it, I put it here, then I put it here. When I went to the my old pockets were like this. the guy said, but man, you guy, you're blessed. But let me tell you, that's how it happened. Every time I got money, and I'd been broke, but when I started getting money, my first priority was, how much am I giving to the Lord? Okay, how much is the Lord giving to me? That's another way of looking at it, because it's his money. You're just a steward. Now, that's how this kingdom operates. Praise the Lord. Now, if you have a partnership which you have not been giving because you had issues, start giving it. Don't worry if they chase you out of the house. You put God first. You'll soon have your own house. I'm telling you. Because he sees. He sees and says, he knows that there are pressures around you. But somehow amidst those pressures, you put him first. That will elevate you to a place you've never been. I'm telling you. And the next time it will come more. The next time you will see there are no pressures. Praise the Lord. And that's how it works. That's how it works. Like God is seeing the way Jesus went and stood at the whatever. And that was all a demonstration. And the way it's written in the scripture. Where they were giving. And then he's looking at what everybody is giving. You understand? He's still looking at what everybody is giving. He has never stopped. And he knows what you're going through. He knows your landlord pressure, school fees pressure, what pressure, what pressure. But amidst all that, you say, no, tithe has to come off first. And I'm going to give it. Then he says, you've really honored me. Then he says, okay, I will also honor you. And remember, honor is about money. Now, if you're giving your partnership, if you only give your partnership when you have excess, like that is contemptible. Amen? That's what? You're not making God first. You're tipping him with what's left over. He doesn't want your tip. Amen? He's not a waiter. Huh? Now, that's one. Let me tell you one other thing, the way this kingdom works. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, another thing you have to know about this kingdom is things seem to be the other way around. And you have to learn how this kingdom operates. And it is your duty to continually keep on adding knowledge on how this kingdom operates. The next one. For what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. Go ahead. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Now I want you to know that all this in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, the kingdom of God always operates by faith. That's the one constant from both testaments. So he said these people subdued kingdoms through faith. Worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Go ahead. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now, I want to tell you this. In this kingdom, weakness is powerful and strength is weak. Amen? He says, out of their weakness, they subdued kingdoms. And I wish, like, you'd understand. For instance, let me go back to my story of Fufa. If I'd understood that out of weakness, I could subdue the football empire. You understand? I would not have trembled because I would have known weakness is actually strength. When you come with your strength, actually, as far as God is concerned, you're weak. You understand? But now, if I had known that in this kingdom, when you appear to be weak, you're actually strong. Because you're dependent on God, and that's the biggest strength there is. Now, I would have known, okay, I don't have money, I don't have what? But out of weakness, I am going to subdue this. But those are things I learned later. Praise the Lord. But thanks to that failure in the past, next time an instruction came, I was better prepared to take it on. Praise the Lord. Now that is the thing with you. Your failure is nothing, and even God perhaps knew you would fail. But he wants that to be a reference point. So every time you doubt, I remember that I could have actually taken that path. And I could have reached somewhere, but I despised myself. Then you will not despise yourself again. Because we all learn through, you know. Some people learn through revelation, but for the most part, people learn through tribulation. But it's easier to learn through revelation. But the reality is that weakness. So God is telling you to do something powerful, and you're too weak. Man, you're so strong. You know, eh? That is the best place to be. Weakness. Where you say, God, I don't know how this is going to be, but I am available. And I am willing. And you do not despise yourself. And you take on that assignment. And then you see how valiant men whose hearts God has touched will start pursuing you. Like, and it happens automatically. There is no assignment for which God has not given you people to help you in. But are you deployable? Or are you deplorable? I'm a bold zung. Now he's sounding like T.D. Jakes. Black towel and then a jacket with up to here. Oh my God. Anyway, so I think we'll end it there. But I just wanted you to know that I am here to make you ready for deployment. Amen? It's not about you, it's about God. Can you imagine God comes and tells you to do something and you have to say, God, who could have chosen so and so and so and so has come to me? Ah, man, I'm going to do it. You understand? Eh? Nothing can stop me. If God has chosen, can you imagine he has the whole world to choose from and then he comes for me? Ah, I'm okay. I will do it. Out of weakness, I will subdue kingdoms. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, out of weakness, I will subdue kingdoms. So now, some people think they have strength. Eh? They have armies. They have what? But we are going to subdue them out of what? We are going to subdue them out of weakness. They say, but how can he? What is there preaching? He thinks he can be. You wait, you see. I will be. And nobody can stop me. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555, or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.